Hey, we're online. All right, so welcome to the SGR Coffee Break number two.
Yay! Week of, what is today? December 9th. I have my coffee.
I have my coffee. Yeah, coffee.
Yep. It's
Victor.
good. It's how I start my day. Well, that's not true. I start my day with yoga and then I get coffee.
Oh, I pretty much just roll out of bed, go to the coffee maker, which has an auto on button, so it's already got the water ready to go for me, so I just make my cup of joe.
Do we really want to go into how we start our days? Because my day starts with a baby usually crying, and then I get out of bed, and then I have to make a 6-year-old who's really demanding breakfast and try to take care of everybody and take him to school, and then I go to yoga.
I lot turn my computer on. Usually, I just grab my. Usually, when I wake up, I grab my phone off the nightstand and check my email for some stupid reason.
Yeah, I do that too while the baby's crying. I'm like, ah, he can cry for like another like couple of seconds. My email is really important right now. I must see who needed me, and usually it's all crap, but that's okay. I just clear it on out.
There we go.
Well, speaking of disappointments, other than how I get up in the morning, yeah, I miss like sometimes I really miss not having like I love my kids, but sometimes I really miss the days when I didn't have. Because I can, play lots of games whenever I wanted, and I don't know, do whatever I wanted. But anyway, sometimes we don't always get what we want. And the strategy guides this year, I definitely did not get everything that I wanted, and I did yell at Brady Games and Prima Games about it at E3, which they were like, "It's not our fault." But basically, this is really kind of, the first year for the new gen consoles to be getting strategy guides. I mean, like the new gen exclusive. Because the first one, I believe, is Dead Rising 3. But the PlayStation 4 didn't get any. And basically, I ran up to Brady Games, was like, "Where was my infamous second son?" Because they'd always done Infamous in the past. So it's like, "Where's my infamous second son?" And they're like, "Oh, sorry, couldn't do it." And they explained why, but I still. Where's my infamous second son? And it's not that Infamous Second Son was a hard game, because I mean, I did find all the collectibles, I was able to do everything. It's more of a, but I have the first two on my shelf. I need the other for completion. That, and I just always loved all the artwork that was in the Infamous Guides, because the Infamous Guides always had kind of a comic book style tribute to the artwork, because Infamous was pretty much a comic book style game, especially all the cutscenes. And this one wasn't as much as that, but I still really enjoyed all of that. It would have been cool just like a little Infamous background history. I mean, it's a little more than just, yes, I know where the little collectibles are. I mean, they're all on the map, and it's not that hard because usually, and even like the areas where you have to defeat all these enemies, we just keep leveling yourself up. So then you just like, bring the rain down on them, and it's, no big deal. But that's not the point. The point is, I wanted it on my shelf. Same thing with Kingdom Hearts 2.5 HD Remix. Okay, my shelf's lopsided, all right? Because I'm looking at it right now. I have Kingdom Hearts, Chain of Memories, Kingdom Hearts 2, Kingdom Hearts 3.8. 358 by 2 days, Birth by Sleep, Dream Drop Distance, HD 1.5 Remix. Where's my 2? Where's my 2.5 Remix? No, it's not right. Apparently, I have one, not the other.
And obviously you're such a Kingdom Hearts fan. That's got to really hurt. It's got a sting in the old fangirlism right there.
It does hurt, but at least. When I got the 2.5 Collector's Edition, I got this awesome plushie. It's adorable.
God,
But
that box had to be huge.
it was almost as big as actually, no, it wasn't as big. It was not as big as my Dragon Age Inquisition or Assassin's Creed Unity boxes, but this does not make up for the lack of strategy guide. I've actually had friends text me going, "Where is the strategy guide?" I'm like, "I don't know." And I'm tempted to give out certain email addresses, Prima Games. Okay, I'm calm.
Are you? Are
Maybe.
you feeling
Maybe.
your inner calmness?
No.
Do you need to to meditate just a moment.
Maybe I need to go back and do some more yoga. I don't know.
Now, apparently.
Yeah. I didn't realize I was that angry. But the other guide I was disappointed there was not one of was Wolfenstein The New Order. And that's because, that game was hard. There were a few sections I really had to dumb down the difficulty just because I could not get past it. And I don't know if it was a lack of my talent or, you know, just a spike in difficulty in the game or poor planning or something on the game. You can say whatever you want. But it would have been nice just to be like those little spots that I had that trouble, just be like, okay, what's some different strategies aside from, because apparently what I'm doing and other things I'm trying are not working. That, and it would have been cool to see, because there in Wolfenstein The New Order, there's a big choice you have to make. And depending on what choice you make actually affects what abilities you get, what upgrades you get, and which characters you interact with through the story. And that kind of thing would have been kind of neat. Like, hey, if you want to focus more on health, choose this guy. Or if you want to focus more on your armor, choose this person. Because that was the big thing, because I would have, because I chose the wrong person, so I got armor instead of health, and really I needed health because I died a lot in Wolfenstein, which I think is just part of Wolfenstein, but still. So, Chris, what about you? What were your guide disappointments?
You know, I was trying to think about the games that came out, and I really couldn't think of, because basically everything that I wanted had a guide along with it, usually.
That's not true. Lords of the Fallen. I know you didn't get the game, but when I saw that game at E3, I was like, this has Chris's name written all over it. Because it was Dark Souls hard compared, and also had the big hulking masses like Darksiders.
Yep. And, you know, I watched some people stream it, and I saw a lot of the issues that came along with it, so I'm kind of glad I held off on that one. So, yeah. But I went more off of, like, the two guides that I put on here were the ones that really just were guides that came out, mm-hmm. and ones that I was actually really disappointed in. And the Pokemon would be my first one, and this is for X and Y. And if you've read the reviews, you realize that there's two of them, because they released the guide in two chunks. And both just felt really just half-assed to me. Mm-hmm. Like they were just trying to push something out, and it really irritated the hell out of me. And I say that now because we have Alpha Sapphire and Omega Red, or Omega Ruby, that just came out, right?
Right.
So we have new Pokemons that are currently out, and last I heard there's supposed to be guides coming out for them, and I think it was Prima that was taking that over.
Well, Prima was publishing, but it's
Pokemon Company.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that we'll be in for more disappointments there. If you're going to put out a guide for Pokemon, I really don't break the main story off in one chunk and then break off all the ancillary stuff into another book and charge $20 for each.
That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I understand, you know, keeping those separate.
Right, but
put them in separate sections.
Well, I mean, the guide is also like this big, right?
Right.
I mean, it's tight. Here's the guide. Here's mm-hmm. my coffee mug. You know, it's mm-hmm. tidy, right? If they would have just made it, and I get it, they tried to do that because it's like a 3DS game, and apparently they tried to make it so it would travel, but at the same point, just make it a full-blown big guide and just call it a day and put everything in there. Let's just be done with this.
Didn't they make it more of a Pokedex, too?
Yeah, the second one that came out.
Oh, the second one.
The second one that came out was more of the Pokedex, and then it covered all the ancillary questing that you could do and how to do it. And it was still wrong. There were still, like, the Mega Evolutions were, they just, I don't know. I don't know what, I think that when they were making the guide, they were drinking, so.
Okay. Dang.
And the second one was Thief. We kind of hit on this last week, and I went back to reread my review just to make sure that it was the right one that I was thinking of, and it was. And it was, you know, the main guide kind of misled stuff. The maps were a pain in the ass to read. Not everything was listed. Some things were listed twice.
Mm-hmm.
as far as like where you could find stuff and collect them. And the e-guide was a lot better. This was the one that I actually, we were like, we should test out the e-guide once. And so I went and got that because it was free, right? Get the physical guide,
right.
Get the code.
Get the code.
But into that, and that was, I mean, that was a little bit better. So obviously, you know, they kind of went through and updated it. But yeah, it's like, I don't quite get what was going on there of why, you know, like to collect a pen or to collect a collectible, it would be listed twice in two different locations and just.
Oh, it sounds like bad quality assurance there. Like,
yeah.
Proofreading. Although I hear that you collect a lot of pens in Thief.
You do, but at the same point, there's torches that you can light and blue torches and all that, and that stuff was not correct. And there's actual main story parts that were incorrect. It just, again, you know, while the Pokemon company was probably drinking sake, whoever reviewed this was probably drinking beer. So,
well, I also heard Thief wasn't a good game, so maybe they were drunk while playing it. Just to get through it.
You know, I've said it. You just shut the main character up and the game turns out to be really good.
So you kind of turn off a lot of what makes Thief and then it's good?
No. See, you play through it once just to get through it, right? So you hear the main story. And then you go back through it again so you can do all the collecting. But this time you just shut the character up and he never really speaks anything. So it's great.
So you're saying that, what was his name? Geralt? No, that's Witcher.
What's his name?
What was his name? Garrett?
I think so. Garrett.
So basically you're saying Garrett is his own Cortana?
Yeah, he's annoying. Just shut him up. So, and I've, you know, I kind of looked through the rest of my games and pretty much anything that I really wanted a guide for, I got a guide for, so.
Well, aren't you just lucky?
Yeah, well, you know.
No, I'm hoping next year is going to be a little more. There should be more guides because next year the new gen should really be taking off. Should be more mainstream. Although, come on, companies, stop doing cross publishing. Just do the new gen and move on. Anyway, okay. There's that rant. So for next year, since so much good stuff's coming next year, especially in February, holy crap, February, March, and now The Witcher 3 has been delayed till May, which that gives me more time to do Dragon Age, and then actually have like this huge, meaty thing to play over the summer, because we always complain about there's nothing coming out over the summer. Lots of good stuff coming out. So, Chris, what guides are you... I know there's a lot of games you're looking forward to, but what specific guides are you looking forward to the most for next year?
You know, I'm really looking forward to and hoping that we get one for Bloodborne. And anybody that...
Well, I know who's writing that one. That'd be Future Press.
Well, it would make sense because I believe they're the ones that did the Dark Souls ones too.
Yes.
Because it's very encyclopedic. But this is, you know, it's going to be another Dark Souls kind of game. But this time it's going to be like with guns and more of a steampunkish kind of feel. So I'm really looking forward to that game. And, you know, Future Press has always done a really good job with the Dark Souls game. So it makes me happy to hear that they're doing the one for Bloodborne, which means that I'm pretty positive that this is going to be a really good guide.
Awesome. Well, so, I have a feeling it's probably going to be needed because isn't Dark Souls like hard as...
Hard as hell, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes you want to stab yourself every time you screw up.
See, that just doesn't sound like fun to me.
Oh, but there's
I know you love it, but...
Oh, man, I'm so looking forward to this one. So, the other one that I'm looking forward to is Mortal Kombat 10. And yes, they, you know, it's a fighting game, but my hope is that Brady Games does this one because they always do such a good job with their fighting game guides.
Okay.
And the fact that, you know, other than the Ultra Street Fighter 2 Bible that they did, because that was pretty much just here's a Bible, they usually do a lot of good stuff as far as they'll talk to the pros, you get some pro tips, you get a little bit of history as far as the game, and considering that this is kind of, they're trying to throw this one back to its roots, and it's also going to be pretty damn gory. So I'm curious to see if they include some sort of artwork in it, art section, what we're going to see as far as little extras.
I do not want to look at the art section, because when I saw at E3,
oh yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, just I'm like,
you don't want to see artistic entrails? Come on.
The brain just coming out of the person's split head and still, you know, pulsating. I'm like, okay, no. You guys are sick.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of people talking about it on when they're playing streams, usually the fighting game streams, and they're talking about has NetherRealm gone a little bit too far on their fatalities, and I'm just like, eh, it's a video game.
Well, that question went back when I was in junior high school with the first Mortal Kombat game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they've gone too far, so interesting to see like how it is now show back then. Hey, not so bad now, is it?
Yeah, and let's not forget, the first Mortal Kombat, the only way you could get the blood and gore on it was to own the Genesis version. It wasn't until Mortal Kombat 2 when Nintendo finally caved on the whole blood and gore thing. And I think that was when ESRB started kind of kicking in too, so they could have a rating system. So anybody that remembers, it would be Mortal Kombat 2 that was one of the very first games that ever had blood and gore on a Nintendo platform.
See, I only played Mortal Kombat on the Game Gear. I didn't have a Genesis.
Oh, so you got to play it for like 2 minutes before your batteries died.
Be fair, it was an hour. So I usually had it plugged into the wall, which didn't make it very handheld or portable, but that's besides the point.
To all you people that bitch about portables being so short on life, you need to just go back in the day and get some old school consoles and try those out.
Yeah. So anyway, I remember there being blood in those, but not.
Oh yeah, Genesis was horrible. Sega was always a good one for having blood and violence on their consoles. So.
I mean, there was always blood sprays. Like, you know, if you did a solid uppercut to the face, there was this huge blood spray. But I guess like maybe I was just so desensitized to it back then. I was like, but I don't see what the big deal is. I guess because compared to movies, you know, that wasn't. Of course, I was also older. I was in high school, so you know, by then, what was that movie that came out? Silence of the Lambs came out. So after seeing that, like, this is no big deal.
This is nothing.
I mean, granted, no, you don't want 5-year-olds playing that, but you know, once again, it goes back to, you know, parents. Even back then, we had issues with parents not monitoring what kids were doing. I guess they figured everything was like, you know, happy like Mario or something. Even though if you think about it, Mario's pretty damn violent.
He is.
There's just no blood showing. He does bloodless kills.
Yeah, but, I mean, crushing somebody to death, that's kind of violent.
It is, but it's bloodless, so therefore it's okay.
Oh, yeah. And they're mushrooms, right?
And they're turtles, and who cares about turtles? Or turtles with bird faces, I don't know.
So what are you looking forward to next year?
Oh, man. I am looking forward to The Witcher 3. Oh, my God, Witcher 3. I'm reading The Witcher books right now, which just makes it even... because I know I'm an idiot sometimes, but I did not know that the game is based off of books. Because you know they're Polish, so it's taken a while for them to be translated over here. But it was at E3 this year. One of my roommates talked about the Witcher books and how there's only 4 that are over here. And if I really wanted to, I could find the scanlations online. Like, no, I'm good with that. I don't need to read weird translations online. But so the first Witcher book, finished it last night. Great book. Can't wait to get the second, and maybe I'll have them all finished before The Witcher 3 comes out, but I'm looking forward just to who that you know, get back into that huge, massive world, remembering how much I suck at The Witcher and have to go through that steep learning curve once again to get to where it takes, you know, 5 minutes to kill me instead of 2 seconds. And one thing I liked about The Witcher was that it's such a huge open world. You could really felt like you could do whatever you wanted, but the story was so good, you still stayed on the path. And the cool thing to me about The Witcher 2 is that there were so many different ways to get out of a situation. The answer wasn't always fighting. Like, I did not fight the final boss. I sat down with him and had a drink, and we went on our merry little ways. Which is basically like, you know, whatever, peace. He's like, yep, I'm out. I'm not going to come back. I'm like, all right, cheers. And we went our own ways. Which is something I wish that you could have done in Deus Ex, Human Revolution. But there's so many different choices, and what you felt was a good choice or a bad choice wasn't always that way. Like, I made this one choice thinking I was saving people, and an entire village burned because of my choice. I was like, shit, I thought I was saving everybody, and I kind of wasn't. I was murdering a whole bunch of other people.
Way to go.
Yeah, I know.
Way to not be a savior.
I know. And all the side quests, I probably spent, you know, a good 40 hours just on all the side quests. And they never felt meaningless, because his job as a witcher was to hunt down demons. So you come across people that are like, well, we'll pay you to take care of this troll. All right. And once again, you know, what's the cool thing was that you actually had an option to talk the troll into leaving. You didn't have to kill him. Just be like, come on, dude, can you stop being a dick? And you're like, okay. And he would just kind of go. So... And that's one thing I really enjoyed about The Witcher, and I'm really excited to seeing, I guess, Geralt's conclusion with Yennefer and the Wild Hunt and come to fruition in this third one. And although they said that there's like 100 hours worth of side quests in it, which just overwhelms the shit out of me, so I'm thinking that the strategy guide is going to be like that thick.
It's going to be a spall.
It's going to be like Skyrim. Like my Skyrim good. Ultimate Edition is going to just be like, here you go, have fun. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. But in February, looking forward to The Order 1886, which everyone's like, it's a horror game, probably not going to like it. Maybe, but it's a steampunk setting in the Victorian England. I'm all over it. I'm excited. I think it's going to be great. I know that there's a guide coming out. I about started screaming when I saw the little display at Brady Games booth at E3. The Witcher 3 will be done by Prima Games, in case anyone's interested. But I know it's about werewolves. Like, really, 2015 is about horror, if you think about it.
Yeah. Because
you got like Resident Evil 2, the Revelations, those episodics, then the Resident Evil Classic HD, and Bloodborne, and The Order, Dying Light. Yep. So lots of stuff if you like to be scared or horrified or grossed out. I guess are coming. And even The Order, I think, is technically considered a horror because it's about werewolves and it's got the situations where it's full of suspense.
Jump scares.
Man, which probably means I need to be drinking so I don't, like, you know, jump too much, and hopefully I don't pull a Ross when he played Outlast and just go, nope.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good.
Oh. All right, well, that's what's coming next year. What are you playing now?
Oh, well, thanks to you, I've been playing The Crew. I've been playing it a lot. I pretty much spent all day Saturday on it, thanks to not having kids. So.
Oh, man, the days.
So I uncovered all of the Midwest map. And I'm slowly working on the New York side of it now. My problem is you can find car parts and unlock cars and stuff. So I unlock those cars, and then I'm like, oh, I need to make these better. So then I just do all the races all over again to, you know, up the level of my car, and it's so addicting. And then
is this like, you know, an RPG almost?
It's like an MMO. It's got a lot of that MMO elements into it. So, like, you're constantly trying to level your car, so they make races and obstacles. That way, you know, you want to level your car and then come back to it and get better at it so you can make it gold. So there's reasons to come back and kind of grind out those areas. Mm-hmm. But then MMO aspects of it is you can... You're always online, so you're always seeing other racers driving around the map. And they can, if they're going to tackle some of the mission quests or some of the mission races, they can basically send out an invite for anybody to come help them out. So one of the ones that I did a couple times was you have to chase down a truck and you're driving through fields and on the beach and all that. Well, when you first do it, you kind of got to learn how the truck goes and where it is. So I kind of got bronze on it. So then I redid it again, but this time I had four people in it, and I mean, I got gold on it right away because we did it so freaking fast because you have four people helping you out. So, and then once you complete that, it dumps you back in, and you're still in your party or you're still in your crew, party, and you can drive around the. You can drive around the U.S. and tackle more stuff, or you can kind of leave your crew slash party and go, do other things that you want to do. So, it's a lot of fun. The connection issues kind of suck,
Well,
and they creep up, and that still happens from time to time. And obviously, Sony just had that massive attack again, so Sony's not having a good year.
that's why we can't have nice things.
And what are you playing?
Well, yesterday I popped in the Halo Master Chief Collection, and yes, the multiplayer is still broken, but what I really wanted to check out was Halo 2 Remastered, because it's only been out on just the original Xbox, and I've played it on the original Xbox, and I did terribly at it because, and I think it's because, I don't know, you can't see anything, because it's all like the same meshed color, and so like when the flood comes out of like the cavern walls, it's like, oh, is that the wall moving? Oh no, shit, I'm dying. And so I really wanted to see how they upgraded that, and oh my God, it's amazing how beautiful it looks. And not only that, but just playing the beginning, I played the first two chapters yesterday, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's Halo. This is like so much fun. I forgot how much fun Halo, especially the original Halo games. And of course, then it's always fun to, you can press, I don't know what button it's called on the Xbox One, because they don't have like select and start buttons anymore. But anyway, it's the button with like the two squares on it. You press that, and it'll switch back and forth between the original and the new, and it also switches between the original sound and the new. So it's like you go, ugh, ah, ugh, ah, back to
Yep.
this.
I
But
actually
like,
watched some streamers doing that, and it was really interesting to see how that
yeah,
worked
just
out.
how different. Just like just the textures and the resolutions, the little bitty things. It's like just makes it so sharper, and everything just stands out and pops, and it's just great. And it's little things that will always that will never change with me in Halo. Like how the little grunts will always make me laugh, no matter what. Especially when they come at you with the kamikaze style of just screaming. It's like, really? Okay, whatever. Seeing the elites just going, what? It almost sounds like they're like on South Park as they're running around the corners, and how every time the hunters come on the scene, I still scream and run away every single time. Of course, then I hear Cortana go, "We have to defeat them to move on." I'm like, "Ah, oh, shut up, bitch!
Get on
I
my
don't
head.
want to. I don't want to. I hate fighting these guys, but." I had to do two pairs yesterday, and it took me a while to remember, like, oh, like that's right, I did master this certain dance you can do with them. All you need is your handgun, because this thing is like more powerful than it ever should be, and just kind of dance around them, because for some reason, whenever they're really close to you, they will not fire their plasma cannons. I don't know why, but they won't. They just charge you. So you kind of do this little dance, you just get behind them, and then you do two shots right in the back, and then they go down. Because again, the hand. Now you can't do that with any other weapon, but for some reason, the little does it every single time. So but yes, I'm hoping to get more into that, because my boss is like, yeah, I do want you to review Halo. I was like, well, crap. Okay, fine. So but I was playing yesterday. Like, oh yes, I love Halo. This is so much fun. So I'm glad to be back in it, even though Halo 2 is the one where Cortana is very present. I should just go play Halo 3 because she's not in it till the very end. Because she still fucking annoys me. So I can't wait for Halo 5, man. She's dead. She's gone. It's gonna be so great.
They're gonna bring her back. They'll resurrect her.
Shh.
It's gonna be like a Marvel storyline.
No, they won't.
they killed her in an alternate universe. And...
No, oh, don't go there. Do not go there. I will lay on the floor and cry in a fetal position and they introduce alternate universes in Halo.
It's going to happen. You wait.
You're a mean person.
I called it now.
Okay, so leave a comment on this post with this that has this podcast saying exactly how mean Chris just was, because he was. That was uncalled for.
I was completely nice.
No.
Or you could comment about how right I am and it was going to be an alternate universe.
No! God damn it, don't give them ideas!
Go ahead. The more comments we have about alternate universes, the happier Carrie will be. We might even, while she reads them aloud next week, we might even see her in the fetal position.
Yes, crying. I might actually add alcohol to my coffee. Something wouldn't be enough. Fucking alternate universes. Anyway, but if there's any topics like you want us to talk about, you can also email us at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com with any questions, any topics you want us to mention. Any questions, we'll read them on the air and answer them. Any topics we'll discuss for future topics for future podcasts. Next week will be our last podcast for December, and that's where we're going to go over our guides of the year. And games of the year, because it's kind of hard to go over just guides, because you got to talk about what's your best game as well. And then Chris and I are also on another podcast. We are on the Evil Cast, which is at Games Are Evil. You can find it at gamesareevil.com or at theevilcast.com. And Chris and I are both on Twitter. We have the Strategy Guide Reviews account, which is at Strategy Reviews. I couldn't do the Strategy Guide Reviews because they're picky on how long it is. So it's at Strategy Reviews. And then I'm at Crunchy Chocobo. And then Chris is at Starvin. And, of course, we want you to keep on reading SGR. We got lots of guide reviews coming. I know I've been behind, but it's been a crazy-ass fall, and got so many games to get, games and guides to get through for the end of this year, so we can start in February, Chris. February. It's going to happen all over again. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm prepared. Totally ready for it, man. I got this shit.
All right. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Take care.